everyone, to another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Phil. We're so happy that you've joined us today. So, Vilma, how was your week?
My week was good. It was a bit intense considering everything that has been going on in Minnesota, but, you know, life goes on. So, how was your week?
It was good. I can't complain, you know, just be thankful. Yeah, there's a lot of unrest going on in our country, but, you know, hey, that's for another time that we can able to talk about that. But what we are here most likely to talk about is that amazing show that we had last week. You know, what's your thoughts on that? I know you thought it was an awesome show.
I did. It was awesome. And what stood out to me was how freely the nurses just told their story. Mm-hmm. And I especially loved the part where Cheryl talked about her patient, helping her patient to connect with his son, right, who was on the outside, by just a simple thing as making his phone available so that he could dial the number and seeing his smile. Mm-hmm. That was amazing.
That was. And, you know, even her voice and her face light up when she talked about that story, because it had such effect on him that he got the chance to talk to his son, and that gave him the push or the thing that he needed to encourage himself to fight through the sickness that he was going through. So yeah, that was amazing, you know? Yeah. And I really love the part of how they gave to the people of giving of themselves, going above and beyond the call of duty. You know, they were rubbing their feet, staying longer in the rooms than what they were required to, and being the family that they needed for that time, you know. So those ladies and other nurses like them, or healthcare workers like them, that go above and beyond, is just so awesome and so great to know that we have people like that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other point, going back to what Faith talked about, leading her dying patient to the Lord.
Right.
That's so amazing.
Yes, because that's what it's all about, ain't it?
Yes. Because, you know, sometimes we're like, okay, I'm doing the professional part of my duty. You look comfortable. You were turned when you were supposed to. I check your vital signs. Your oxygenation is good. So I'm doing my part. Mm-hmm. But she saw beyond what her job description was, and to add that area of compassion and tenderness.
That
touched my heart.
Yeah, that's just yeah, definitely. It's amazing. So are you ready for the next show, or you just want to tell? I think probably we just should
tell.
We probably should just tell our audience then how they can able to reach us and be involved in our show, or where they can reach us, I should say.
I think that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Just in case at the end we're so overcome, we won't be able to say. So you can hit us up on Facebook, Life Chat with Viv and Bill. You can email us, livechatvivandbill@gmail.com. Or you can go on our website, livechatwithvivandbill.com.
Exactly. Now, you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's go.
Hit it.
All right. So, as promised, we will continue our discussion today with these fantastic nurses. Vilma?
So, did any of you guys get COVID personally?
So yeah. Like I said, Faith just echoed the thing about being God is going to protect you. And all through the time that I was working on the COVID unit, I kept that in the back of my mind. Like, God, you are going to protect me. Mm-hmm. And I worked on Mother's Day. And I remember coming home the Monday morning. And I felt a little bit tired, but I wasn't like exhausted. So I slept most of the day on that Monday after Mother's Day. That would have been the 11th. And on the 12th, I still was a little bit tired, but I had a headache. And I had headaches all along, but the headache started probably about in the middle of April, but they would be on and off. And I just attributed it to the fact that the machine, the ventilators, the heart rate machine going up, that the sensory overload that I was experiencing, which was much more than what I normally have in the outpatient setting. And so a couple of times I just took Tylenol. A couple of times I went to bed and just lay down. I woke back up and it's gone. And so I never thought anything of it. I really actually didn't think attributed to anything. And I know in my mind, headaches are one of the symptoms for COVID, but I didn't really attribute it to that. But I remember on the Wednesday, I was talking to one of my girlfriend, and the administrator texted me to say the following week that I was going to be able to go back to my outpatient setting. And I was telling her, and she said, oh, you know, you have to get clearance. So you have to get one of the COVID tests done on that week when you're off before you go back to the outpatient setting. And I said, okay. So I called the OHS and I said, okay, I just need to get clearance to go back to my unit because my deployment is over and I'm going to be off the next week and I'm going back the week of the 25th. And she says, okay, do you have any symptoms and whatever? And I said, no. And then she says, I have to go through the list. And then she says headache. And then she said fatigue. And I said, I have headaches, but I've been having headaches. And I attribute to this, and this. And fatigue, I never usually work 12-hour shifts. So I am tired because I'm working a shift that I'm not used to. My body is not used to it. And she says, well, you have two other symptoms that we have to ask you about. So we have to send you to do a COVID test. And that was the 13th of May. May 13th. So I'm there since March, April, and this is May. And so I went for the test on May 14th. And I didn't hear anything on the Friday, which was the 15th. And my son on the Saturday said, Ma, did you get back your result from your test? And I said, no, I didn't hear anything. And I don't know if everybody knows that saying, no news is good news. So I took it like, okay, I'm fine. And the Sunday, he asked me again. I said, you know what? There is a card that the lady gave me when I went to do the test. It's in the car. And I could look it up online. That Sunday, I didn't go outside. But the Monday morning, I went outside, got the card, and I came back. And I created an account and looked it up. And I looked at the thing, and it said positive. And my heart sank. And I looked at it, double take. I'm like, this is not for real. Is this saying positive? And I called my son and I said, I showed him the computer screen and he says, what? And he said, bring it up somewhere. I bring it up. I said, what does that say? He says, oh my God, Ma, it says you're COVID positive. I was flabbergasted because at the same time I was like, my stomach, like I had a pit in my stomach. At the same time, I was like, this cannot be. They gave me the wrong result. They actually gave me the wrong result. I could not believe it because I wasn't the typical patient. So based on what I know and what I've seen, I had no cough. I had no shortness of breath. I had no sore throat. I had the only thing I had was a tiredness, which I knew that I was tired. But at this point, I've been going since March and I didn't have any break. And I was actually telling myself I was going to call on the Wednesday and tell him I'm not working on the Thursday because I'm so tired. But I never actually had to because I was cleared before that. But I didn't have anything else. So it took me by surprise that my results were positive because I have been going nonstop and God has kept me nonstop. And I wasn't the typical patient. I didn't have to be on a respirator. I didn't have to be in a hospitalized. I didn't have to do. So I just say, thank you, Lord. I said, I walked in there and I was able to walk back out of that unit. And for that, I say, God be glorified because it could have been worse. Me finding out after the fact that I contacted the COVID-19, yes, it was not what I wanted to hear, but like I said, it could have been worse. And so I just thank God that I'm alive and well. My daughter is negative. My son is fine. That we were still kept, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of this COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Anybody else had COVID?
Well, for me, while I was on vacation, there was one day I noticed I have a couple stairs in my house to get from my bedroom to get anywhere else in the house. And I usually just run up these stairs without a second thought. I used to be pretty active, like, you know, working out, running. So, and I haven't done that in maybe a year. So when I felt a little winded going up the stairs one day, I said, oh, that has to be because I am not working out. I'm not active. But then in the back of my mind, I know it was different because I said, I haven't been working out for a year, but I have not felt winded going up these stairs. And now I feel winded. I also felt a little tired, but I had been keeping some late hours, some many, many months, in fact, going to bed like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. So there was a reason to rationalize how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. But then when I called my workplace and I learned at that time that 9 people had tested positive, and I knew I had had a lot of the very ill patients who came to the clinic just before I went on vacation, I said, you know something, let me go get tested. And sure enough, got tested, positive results.
Wow.
I didn't feel slammed. I just felt, ouch. And when I showed it to my husband, he was very good at covering up his emotions, because after the fact he shared it with Jenny, you wouldn't understand how much I feared that you would die from this testing. I mean, this.
Wow.
And, but God is good. God is good.
Amen. Long time.
Yes. He's kept me. I had no progression in terms of increasingly more winded. It was really minimal and could be easily overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to work, a little winded when I went back to work going up the stairs, but it just passed before I realized, oh, Genevieve, now you're coming up and you're walking and I'm feeling that windedness. So God has been good, and, you know, having tested, and even though I did the social distancing at home, I realized that I never knew at what point I was exposed. So therefore,
right,
important that I had my husband tested, and he tested, and he tested positive also. He had absolutely no symptoms, but he tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
And my elderly mom, she'll be 85 tomorrow. I had concerns.
Shout out to mom. Happy birthday, shout out to mom.
I will tell her. So even before I got tested, I was saying, just in case I might have been exposed to anything at work, let me just safeguard by wearing masks and stuff around her, which I was doing for a good couple of weeks before I got my diagnosis. There was one particular week when she just looked not well, and there's one day it culminated in her passing out as the attendant who works with her 10 hours a day was taking her to the bathroom, and she had to bodily lift her back into her room. And I said, you know something, let me go test her. And I got her tested. Sure enough, my mom was positive.
Wow.
So that's when I got really concerned, because in terms of her body's ability to fight this disease.
Right, right.
I wasn't sure she would be able to do it, especially how she had been that particular week.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept asking me, Genevieve, have you got my results yet? And I said, no, mom, I haven't got it. And finally, when I got it this particular Friday afternoon, the Saturday morning, she asked me, but I know my mom, if she knows she has COVID-19, it's going to play on her mind. And if she was not, before, she was going to be severely sick now, if she made it.
Mm-hmm.
My family and we consulted, and came to the decision she shouldn't be. Some wanted her to be told, some no. I thought I'm the one with her. I know how she was going to respond. So I said to her that Saturday morning, I said, mom, I got your result, as a matter of fact, yesterday evening. And you know something, you're the best one of us. In my mind, that's interpreted. Oldest one of us, and you're kicking the butt of COVID-19.
Oh, oh boy. Oh, wow.
But that's something that you said that's really good, too, because sometimes our minds, you know, we go off on our own trip and listen to these voices that tells us, oh, you're sick now, you have to come with all the symptoms mm-hmm, and everything mm-hmm. that need to come with the sickness. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, even though, you know, some might say, oh, you shouldn't have lied to her, but yeah, you kept her in a good spirit. She oh, yes. feel confident that she doesn't have it and she will continue walk in joy and walk in peace mm-hmm. even though she did have it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I think that's good because mentally sometimes our minds plays yeah. on us,
plays havoc. The smile on her face was worth it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Exactly.
Right. I had her walking out of this house, something she hasn't done in well over a year because she had had some, you know, she had broken her leg in three places and it had just, her recovery was just very difficult. And that week we had her walking outside of the house with a lot of handheld support. But the point is she did more than she's ever done. And to this day, she doesn't know that she had it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was not a decision to keep her in the dark, but it was a decision to keep her as healthy as possible, mentally, physically, psychologically, mm-hmm. name it.
Right.
God be all the glory.
Good.
So I have a question for you ladies. Now, being that you guys have been around so many different cases, two of you have contracted the disease yourselves. And for those individuals that still saying this is not real, because I even looked on Facebook where some people is like, do you really know anyone who ever had COVID-19? People are asking those questions, seeming like, is this really for real? Because no one that I know has the disease. Not me, for say, because I do know a lot of people and family members that have died from it. But what would you say to those individuals that may think because they don't have it or they don't have the symptoms, and just like you guys point out really well, you may think that you're fine and you feel fine, but you have it. And that's one of the things the doctors are saying is that you may have it and you don't know. And you guys clearly stated that in what you said about you feeling fine. You might have a slight headache or you might feel a little fatigue, but then some people have really severe cases that they need the ventilators, and they, you know, some people complain about diarrhea and different things like that. But what would you say to those individuals that's still thinking that, hey, this is not really real, I don't really know anyone who have this disease, is this for real? What would you say?
So I'd say resoundingly, it is for real. And my view has been the people who are symptom free mm-hmm. are more dangerous. Right. Sense of responsibility towards safeguarding themselves and those around them is reduced because they feel they're fine. So hence they can proceed to behave as if everything is normal. I think once you have been tested, And the sad thing is that the people to whom they might be exposed and are people who are sufficiently immunocompromised to some adverse outcomes. Whereas once you're tested, you know you have the infection, you are committed, much more committed to taking the precautions that you're advised to take in maintaining social distancing and in, you know, doing the necessary sanitizing and just taking care to protect you and those around you.
Mm-hmm.
Recommended for as many people as possible to get tested. Tested for COVID-19 infection, then I certainly recommend testing for the antibodies because likely the people who never had symptoms but had it, that's when you're going to know that they've been exposed because you cannot create antibodies to something to which you were not exposed.
Right, so, right. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Recommendation. Get tested for antibodies. And one would hope that in the future we learn that this antibody will prove to be protective for further exposure, certainly to reduce your risk of coming down with severe illness should you be exposed again. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
There's a likelihood that we're going to have a resurgence, especially with the recent news about how people are just throwing off all sense of responsibility about social distancing and wearing their masks. We've seen this on TV recently where just over this weekend, so many people were, these pool parties, people were, there wasn't even space to swim in because there are so many bodies in the pools and nobody was wearing masks. And supposedly, most of them probably feel well, but you cannot tell me that amongst those groups were some people like my husband and myself or Cheryl who had minimal symptoms or none at all.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the fear. That's the fear I have with people saying, is it real? So if you're in the front line, like you said, you see the devastation of what actually took place. At one point in the hospital, we had over 3,000 patients just in my hospital alone. And it is definitely for real. And I think that the fear is that most people who have not gotten in contact with somebody with COVID-19 or I've trumped it off to like, oh, you know, that's not so many people just because it hasn't reached them. Mm-hmm. I would say to take, don't throw caution to the wind because like we said, there are asymptomatic people that are walking around that has COVID that have never been tested and they are passing it on to the vulnerable population that cannot tolerate any part of the COVID, whether it's from the shortness of breath or the fact that they have all these comorbid diseases, the high blood pressure, the diabetes. I would say 90% of the patients that were in the ICU that were on ventilators had one or two of those comorbid conditions. They either had high blood pressure, they either had the diabetes. They are mostly the ones that we saw. I think we were only four patients that were in their 40s. Most of the patients were 60s, 70s, and 80s. And those are the people that are passing away from the disease. And they're probably more likely getting it from the younger population that think they are invincible and that nothing is, they don't have any symptoms and they don't feel that this is a real thing that is going on, that it is just, it's just not going to touch them. They may not have symptoms, but they're in effect just actually transmitting it to other people who can't fight it off. And so you might be fine. And so don't be fooled that because you're fine that you're not aiding the problem by giving it somebody else that cannot tolerate it, cannot fight it off, have other disease conditions that cannot, cannot help them fight the immune system. And so it behooves them to say, well, you know what? I might feel fine. I might not have a brother or sister that is actually COVID positive, but I'm still going to wear my mask outside. I'm still going to do this. I'm still going to do that so that you can give some kind of protection to other people who need that. Because like I said, the younger population is saying that they're fine and they feel fine and nobody's going to tell them they need to walk around with a mask. And but it's not them. They're not the one that are being in the hospital. They're the older people are being in the hospital.
Right.
But I've heard where some of these young ones are also, being hospitalized as well.
Yeah, but the number is, the percentage is much less.
The
30s and 20s. And I think I've heard of like the 20s. I think most of the 30s, early or late 20s, early 30s, they're about, the percentage is much less than in the grand scheme of things of the people who have actually died. It might be one and two here and there, but it's not nowhere again the 50, 60, 70% people in the 80s and 60s and 70s that are passing away from the disease.
Okay.
There are some, but not a lot.
Right. Faith, do you have anything to add?
Just like Cheryl and Janine, they said COVID comes in so many different faces. With my patients, I've had so many patients with COVID, and not all of them have the same symptoms. Some have the respiratory, some have the GI symptoms. Some have absolutely no symptoms at all. They are asymptomatic. They like I remember just telling one of my patients, congratulations, you made it through the COVID. He told me, I never had it in the first place because he tested positive, but he didn't have any symptoms at all. So that was funny. But yeah, so these are people who are going out spreading, you know, like, yeah, we have to just be protecting other populations. The mask that you wear, I wear a mask because I don't know, like, for me, I haven't been tested. So I don't know, maybe I have the antibodies, maybe I did get it, but I was asymptomatic, I don't know, but I never had the symptoms. So I wear a mask to protect everybody around me.
Yeah.
So I would just advise the population, just wear a mask to protect people around you. Yeah.
Good, good, good advice. So if you are listening to this podcast, I want you to listen carefully. I want you to take the necessary precaution, and if you can and it's available, please go get tested. That's what we have been hearing. So it's nothing to joke about. So please go get tested and please maintain the precautions that you need to, because you are putting people like Cheryl and Genevieve and Faith and myself and Vivian, you're putting us at risk. And so please, please, ma'am, please, sir, please, young lady, please, young gentleman, go get tested or maintain social distancing, wear your mask, hand washing. Please, please, please. Wow. This has been, you know, really, really astounding. So here's another question that I want to ask you. Do you know or have any co-worker who passed away from COVID? Co-worker, not other people, but co-worker, people you work with or people who worked with you, regardless of what their position was in the hospital, that you personally know, in giving care, they got COVID and they passed away. You know anybody? No?
Personally, no. I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
So I know a friend, Cheryl, Mike.
Yes, the
pharmacist at the hospital where I had worked, Montefiore, and that's where Cheryl was deployed to. And he had worked for years, and he had only just retired in March. And he succumbed to COVID in March at the same hospital where he worked.
Yes. Mm. And also the doctor, Dr. Goodrich, which was a neurosurgeon that performed the surgery on the twin. Yes. The twins that made Edline separated the twins in 2010 or 8, somewhere around there. But he actually did succumb to COVID-19 and passed away. And he was the chief of neurosurgery, yeah. I do know another nurse that actually did pass away from COVID-19. And I actually, I have another person that I know was actually an aide, worked as a nurse's aide, and she also passed from COVID-19. So yes, our job itself, they put us in a place where we are vulnerable by just the nature of our job. But I think, like I told somebody, if the time comes again that they would say deploy, I don't think I'll have a second thought of saying I'm going to help out. I don't think it would stop me from jumping in and doing all I can to do too, because that's, as I said, that's my calling. I enjoy nursing. I love nursing. I don't think it would stop me from, fear wouldn't stop me, and definitely pulling away from my career would not be a thing that I'm going to say I'm not going to be helping, or I'm not going to go back to the hospital and help. If it comes to that point where there is a need, I will be there doing it. And like I said, it's not to say my family don't take preference, or I don't care about my life or anything. I do. But like I said, I put my family's life in the hands of the Lord. And I say, Lord, you can do above and beyond. And so I am trusting you. My hope is in you. And therefore, I'm going to go and do what I can do, and I'm going to leave the rest up to you. And so, yeah, we are in the front line, and it is a hazardous condition that we're going into. But as I said, the battle is not ours. You know, it's the Lord. And so I trust that he will take us through it again. And at that time coming, we need to do it again. Then we just have to do it and just put our hope in him.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Do you think you have changed any from going through this experience? Has it left an impression, an impact on you?
Somebody else want to answer, or you want me to answer?
This season, this time, either you, Faith, Genevieve, or Cheryl, think any last words before we...
So for me, I feel absolutely more grateful to God, because it's one thing to talk about God being able to do something, and it's another thing to experience him doing it for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, there'll always be the question as to why does one person die and another person does not? For me, as someone who did not succumb to this, it forces me to think that, you know, God is not like God loves you more than the love that God has for his children is not partial. So if he chooses to keep you here, having been exposed and come down with infection, then there has to be a reason why you're still here. And it behooves me to make sure that my life is impactful, because God is not about wasting time. He's not about doing something without a reason. So if you're here, then clearly there's a purpose for you being here. One of the things that have bothered me the most about this condition is the loneliness. That's why it was my prayer always for the frontline workers, meaning those who are immediately in the hospital settings, to pray for them and to ask that God would give them grace, to let them know he was watching over them and that he would make them sensitive to those patients that they were caring for. Because just the thought of the helplessness of those patients, they don't have a family member there to advocate for them. They don't have a family member to hold their hands, to tell them things are going to be okay, to pray with them. In some instances, there was talk of, you know, the talk, the interaction time between provider and the patient was so small because of the safety issue, people not wanting to have prolonged exposure to these patients. So for me, that was the part that really grabbed my brother's hand, the loneliness. So it really, as a result, my burden was to pray that the people who had the opportunity to be around these patients would be super sensitive to their needs. Faith talking and Cheryl talking, I know God answered those prayers. The difference in the lives of these people. And this is one of the things, I don't know, unless these people are sensitized to be there to meet the needs beyond the medical needs of these patients, it is one of the most cruel condition that has faced man. Because, you know, people can go through a lot when they have the support of their loved ones with them. But when they're alone, they don't have a voice. I think of those patients who are ventilated. They can't even communicate their needs. Loneliness and fear of dying and not having those who care about you being around. As a matter of fact, I wonder if there was the opportunity for more support in that form was there for some patients, if it would not have been that factor that pulled them over the hill. Right. You know what
I mean? Oh, wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
That was a huge loss.
And that's where we say that the compassion where some people, if you were asking, Vivian, if we have more compassion. The nature of our job is for compassion in the first place. So if people are not compassionate, they should not be in a nursing field or in a medical field to begin with. So it goes beyond that. So like Genevieve was saying, the fact that, yes, this one gentleman could be able to FaceTime and talk to his son, that I think even gave him the more of a push to survive it. Because the fact that somebody is actually having that communication with you, and even though he cannot speak, he felt it. He had a desire to live. He knows that, you know, his son is out there waiting for him, that that he's not alone. You know, just the fact that, yes, he might not be able to speak, but if we can talk to the family member on the phone and say, yes, he's doing okay. Mm-hmm. And you go back in the room and you say, oh, your son, Jennifer, or your daughter, Jennifer, or somebody called, and you whisper in their ears and their eyes open. It's that little extra up where mm-hmm. you know that mm-hmm. somebody is looking, somebody is going to miss you. I need to fight. I need mm-hmm. to get, you know, I need to be able to go back to my family. Mm-hmm. And so that compassion that the nurses and the nurses' aide and whoever go in there that could even say, yeah, you know, your wife called today. You know, she said to tell you she loves you. And it just gives them that little extra that they're not sitting in a room by themselves and just wasting away and nobody cares. And wow. I think that there's some talk or there is some inclination that people were saying that these people, yes, they're dying and nobody cares. And that's not the truth. It's not mm-hmm. that nobody cares. Yes, they're not the ones that are caring for them are not the same people that are home with them. It's not a family member. But I do think as providers, we do care for them. And therefore, we can extend that care and that love even in that bed. And we're not their wife or their husband or their daughter or their sister. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we are caring for them during this transition, they're not alone.
Right. This Vivian, this is so good. I think we need to have these nurses back. Can you hear me, Vivian? I think we need to have them back maybe 3 months down the road and see if you have the same and see if your opinion, what your opinion is. And on behalf of, you know, Viv and Bill, this is so exciting. We don't want to end the show, but we have to. I want to thank you so, so much for what you are doing and the tremendous work that you are doing, not only as a nurse, but you're a counselor, you're an encourager, you are exhorting. You know, you guys are doing such an amazing job, and I am proud, so proud of you.
Yes,
all.
Yes.
So proud that, you know, I'm a nurse as well. You guys are amazing. And to our listening, to our listening audience, this is Live Chat with Viv and Bill. So what I want to leave with you is next steps. Now that we have spoken and you have heard our interview with these very courageous heroines, what is your next step? What is it that you can do with what you hear? So here's some things that I want you to consider doing. Number one, if you know a nurse, give them a call, text them, email them, hit them up on Facebook, and just say thank you. Thank you for all that you do. That's one. And second next step that I want you to do is try to return the kindness by protecting them, by wearing your mask, wearing your shield where necessary, wearing gloves when it is called for, and maintaining social distance. That's the next step that I want you to carry out for us. And as you journey and make these steps, you will find out other things that you can do. And if you were thinking you can't do it, it's life. These ladies have done it. And so you can. You just need to dig deep to that inner man and you will realize the awesome job that you are able to do. Any last words, Bibbling?
Yes. And remember that with God, all things are possible. Don't just dream your life. You also should live your dream. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, everybody. See you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.